with you. Please stand by.
And we have everyone but Terry.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Chair Allen, I have my devices rolling and the floor is yours.
Perfect. Thank you. Well, good morning. My name is Steve Allen. I'm the chair of the Tourism Business Improvement District. Today is Thursday, June 17th. I will call the meeting to order. It's 9:05 a.m. And I'll remind everybody this is being recorded. We're obviously meeting via teleconference, via Zoom. We'll start with establishing a quorum. Amish Patel?
Here.
Joan Solu? Nancy Dickinson?
Here.
Chris Kosteka?
Here.
And Terry Innes is not with us this morning, so Terry's the only one missing. With that, we're going to slow down our busy lives and schedules and take a moment of silence here. Thank you for that. If you're like many hoteliers on the Central Coast, it seems like all the stars are aligning right now. We've got warm weather, you've got summertime, you've got tourists who haven't been on vacation in a long time, you've got the end of a pandemic, and you've got a good economy. So the stars are lining up in a good way, almost the opposite of last year. But that means that we're all very busy. So thank you for taking time out of your schedules to meet here this morning. And next on the agenda, we are going to join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, are there any board member announcements, board? Seeing none, how about staff announcements?
No staff announcements. We'll go over a couple pieces a little later on, but nothing from.
Okay, then I will open it up for a public comment period or anything that is not on today's agenda. AGP, do we have anyone in queue?
Thank you, Chair. I do see a raised hand in the queue from Sarah Meglett. I'm going to go ahead and unmute.
Thank you.
Hi, folks. I just wanted to introduce myself. My name is Sarah Magellay. I am the business manager newly hired at Beach and Bay Getaways and U-Relax Vacation Rentals. Looking forward to meeting all of you and being a part of the work that you're doing.
Great. Thank you, Sarah. Nice to meet you virtually. Hope to meet you in person here.
Thanks.
AGP, any further public comment?
Thank you, Chair. I do not see any raised hands left in the queue.
Perfect. Then we should move on to our consent agenda. Item A1 is approval of the May TBID board meeting minutes. Did we all get a chance to review those?
Steve, should we acknowledge the public comment that we got from Sean Green regarding trash receptacles? And also we received the Councilmember Heller sent over an article about the Morro Bay campgrounds. That was really nice. It was a great review of the Morro Bay campgrounds too. I don't know if we have to acknowledge those for those to be put into our public record, but Sean, and then also there was a letter from Ken McMillan, who owns D'Estasio's restaurant, about communication. So I don't know if we have to recognize those in order for those to be put into our record or not. Maybe Heather can help me with that.
What do you think, Heather?
You don't need to. They're already part of public record if they're submitted to the city.
Did we all receive those emails?
Didn't have.
Okay. Any comments?
I thought the trash receptacle thing was spot on. They could they could have form, function, and design. And design in terms of where they're located and design in terms of aesthetics. So I thought Sean was spot on.
But Mr. Green was suggesting that Morro Bay do something, you know, with succulents similar to, was it Pismo or what
Cambria.
Municipality? Cambria. Okay. So I would agree with you, Joan, depending upon the cost, that seems like would be a good addition. Any other comments on the emails? Okay, moving on to the consent agenda. We need a motion to approve the meeting minutes from May.
So moved.
We have a second.
Second.
I think Mish got it first, so all in favor?
Aye.
Perfect. Heather, we don't need public comment on that, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Item B, business items, review of the TOT and STAR reports.
So I'll have a crack at that for you guys. I'm going to try to share my screen here to digest this information just a little bit easier. Let's see. Can everybody see that or no?
Yes.
So you're seeing the TOT report that I'm kind of distilling down for us so we can have a quicker snapshot at the numbers. Currently, we don't have the May numbers in, so we do have the April numbers. Looking at that, not comparing it against last year, we're comparing against 19 and 18. Against 19, occupancy is down a little bit, but if you look at that total revenue in, we're seeing a nice trend in rate moving up, which is what I think we're looking to do here in the city is start driving to rate, getting some value out of the rooms, not necessarily chasing that occupancy number, but being off 3% with that number of revenue coming in is a great place to be. We're seeing a great trend through the month. Interesting note on this is when we look at the vacation rental receipts up from the year prior, we're almost looking at like a 20% increase. Vacation rentals are doing great. Hotels look like they're, you know, are doing great as well in this recovery. It'll be interesting to see how the summer pans out, but in my talks with the hoteliers, it sounds like summer is starting to come alive, and we'll have those numbers for you as they're coming through.
Thank you, Michael. Are we just not including 2020 because it was such an anomaly?
That's correct. I'll add it to there so we can see how bad it was, but it's just not something. I'll add it in there so that we have this historical looking forward. So I'll keep this data like this for us for the next years so we can really have a snapshot and be able to share this with the hotel partners. A lot of times this data, I think, gets lost on the day-to-day activities of our hotel owners, and I just want to make this information more readily available to them and easier to digest and work off of. So I'll add those in.
Perfect. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Board, any comments on the TOT numbers? Okay, not seeing any. So I'm sorry, these are STAR reports here, correct?
These are STAR reports. This is the TOT numbers. The STAR reports are looking very similar. The catch with the STAR reports, as usual, is we just have about four properties that are reporting into that STAR report. Those numbers are slightly higher than what this average is across the board, but this gives us the snapshot of all of the properties together.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Mm-hmm. If there's not anything further on that, I believe we're just reviewing that information. Yes, Joan?
Yeah.
Sorry, Michael. When you did this and you have your vacation rental receipts here and the hotel receipts, do we know how many vacation rentals we have? Was that 20% due to an increase in vacation rentals or is it an increase in demand? In other words, I know that they can add as many vacation rentals as they want. I think in non-resident, like in commercial zones. So did we pick up more vacation rentals this year because of people trying to figure out additional way to earn money because of the I don't know, or maybe we lost some.
I believe we're limited to 250 vacation rentals within the city, Scott, if you want to confirm with that.
Yeah, we have up to 250 permitted residential. There's probably a handful of commercial. City Council, they adopted the new revised vacation rental ordinance last fall, put a moratorium on any new vacation rentals in residential areas. So we're probably down to 175 truly operating vacation rentals. So I think these numbers are static. In other words, when comparing to 2019 or 18, the number of operating vacation rentals are essentially the same. So what you're seeing is a significant increase in demand.
And in my talks to the property management companies, I met with Sarah a couple weeks ago, and I've talked to a couple other property management companies. They're having another off the chart year is what they're saying, leading through spring, and then summer is seeing a really high demand there as well.
I think it's anywhere on the coast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Any other comments? Okay.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say that, yeah, it looks like all the increased foot traffic that we've been seeing for a while is now beginning to equate into hotel stays, which is what was our hope, and it appears to be happening. So that's good news because the foot traffic is still pretty amazing midweek out here.
I do have a question, Scott, and this one's for Scott. Scott, with the increase in, with California opening back up, which is, those are some really great words. California is open for business, right? That's terrific. With California opening back up, how long are the restaurants going to be able to have their expanded dining taking up space on the sidewalks?
Good question. Depends on sort of Coastal Commission's attitude towards use of the right-of-way. As it were, down in the waterfront where a lot of outdoor dining is taking place. So I think it's sort of moving forward what that's going to look like. We don't know. They've sort of said this year, carry forward as you did last summer, understanding the impacts. So, but in the future, it's unclear. But beyond what the things that we can control, will continue to allow for outdoor dining so long as your restaurants are seeking that.
And did we ever come up with a matrix for trash cans to outdoor dining tables?
No, we haven't had staff time to do something like that. But if anybody has thoughts on that, we'd welcome them.
Scott, can you give a 30-second interpretation of mask mandates and social distancing within the city limits? I think I know what they are, obviously, on the state level, but
right,
just to clarify, within the city boundaries.
Well, the city operates under the county requirements, and the county is not chosen to go above the state. Some counties have, I mean, every county has the ability to expand beyond the state requirements, but this county is chosen to follow succinctly with those. So my understanding is, if you're vaccinated, you don't need to wear a mask. It's basically the long and short of it. And I believe it's sort of up to the individual businesses and how they want to address assessing if somebody is vaccinated or not, to put it the best terms I can put it. So that whole space is unclear to me what the rules are around that. But as far as the general parameters, if you're vaccinated, you don't need to wear a mask unless you're in like a very large audience setting, you know, several thousand people. And then I believe masks are maybe required at that point. But I don't believe there's any venues in Morro Bay or in Slo County, for that matter, where that's required. Now, I think public transportation, those rules slightly differ. And I believe you still have to wear masks on airplanes and things like that. But Michael may know that better than me.
Yeah, it's up to the businesses currently. If it's not a mega event over, I want to say it's 1,000 people indoors, there isn't currently any masks mandates. It's up to the individual businesses to essentially ask if their patron wants to is vaccinated or is not vaccinated. So it's up to the businesses to enforce that. And I'm not seeing in my walking rounds of downtown and going in and businesses. We had a chamber mixer last night, which was exciting to have. It seems like it's pretty open at the moment for those to self-police if you're not vaccinated. So,
in general, does it seem like most of the Morro Bay residents are comfortable with that?
I have not polled them, but I've just sort of seen a general relaxing of masks with most people. But I haven't gone into a grocery store, so I wonder what that looks like. That'd be usually a place where you might see more mask wearing, but I haven't been in there since the restrictions have been dropped.
Yeah, it's I go to the grocery store quite a bit to pick up lunch. There is a handful of people still wearing masks. Not nearly what it was a couple of days ago. And the businesses last night during the chamber mixer, majority of those that were attending the mixer were not wearing masks. I would imagine most of those attending are vaccinated. And they are local business owners that were primarily targeted for that mixer.
So, okay. Yeah, I was in Albertsons yesterday, and I would say less than 25% of the people were wearing masks. Although I do have an additional question regarding masks. I read the OSHA, the headline in the Tribune that OSHA is requiring, and this goes to you all as employers, OSHA is requiring that employees continue to wear masks at work. Is that something that the county can overrule, like you were saying? Is that a state mandate? The county can decide yes or no on that? How does that work here?
Yeah, I don't know. The OSHA rules, I think they voted three or four times, and one time they corrected themselves within a vote. So I think there's another meeting today. So I think whatever I say on record now will likely be different tomorrow. So I hesitate to wade in on things I'm not familiar with or where decisions have still yet to be made. And the governor, of course, can overrule OSHA. So it's still very fluid. My general understanding is if you're in a workspace, everybody's vaccinated, no masks required. And if you aren't vaccinated, you're supposed to wear a mask. And the tricky area is, well, how do you determine who's vaccinated or not? And I imagine there'll be a lot of litigation related to that moving forward.
Not only that, the employers have to provide the N195 mask, but you can't forcibly ask an employee if they're vaccinated, correct?
Not true. You can. And this is, but again, I think that's, there's going to be litigation related to, I just foresee that happening given what we experienced last year in terms of litigation. So universities, I know several universities, I think you see CSU system is requiring vaccinations and proof to come back. So it's definitely kind of a wide open space as far as how that's going to be enforced. So
well, when we find out, or if you find out, Scott, and you can forward the information to Michael so he can get it out to all the hoteliers and the vacation rental companies and stuff, because I have to tell you, OSHA is a pain in the back side of hoteliers, because there are so many regulations, not only in terms of hours worked, but the safety regulations with housekeeping chemicals and shoes and eye equipment and your maintenance employees, and it goes on and on and on. So if there is some way that whatever they kind of firm up can be put out there to all the hotels, I think it would be helpful, because it's my experience, having owned a hotel in Morro Bay, that Cal OSHA likes to come through here about every 4 or 5 years and check things out. So just keep your eye on that, everyone.
And Joan, I agree with the idea, but the issue that we're going to have is by the time you put any information out, it tends to change by the time you get off the copier or an email. So, wow. And it is difficult. So,
yeah, it's a moving target, but you definitely don't want to be behind it. You want to try and be out in front of it. Yeah. Correct.
Okay, AGP, any public comment on that business item?
Thank you, Chair. I do not see any raised hands in the queue.
Great, thank you. Then we will move on to item B2, update on the T-bid conversion process.
Yep, exciting news. Congratulations, everybody. I sent you all an email. Last week, the City Council approved the transition process in a 4-0-1 vote. The one vote, I believe there was some technical difficulties with that. I believe we could have had a 5-0 vote. I was looking forward to that. So the city council didn't have, was very impressed with the work we're doing and didn't have any questions for us moving forward. So we were on to the next steps of the transition process. Currently, we're working through the insurance, budget, banking, all of the pieces that need to line up, and also working through the contract between Visit Morro Bay and the city right now to have that hopefully signed prior to July 1st. I've confirmed with Civitas that if we do not have that for some reason signed before July 1st, we might be slightly out of compliance, but since it's in the pipeline, we aren't at any major risk of compliance issues. So there's a couple dominoes that we need to take care of in the next couple weeks. But other than that, things are lining up well.
Great. Thank you, Michael. If I'm not mistaken, this may or may not be the last meeting of a city advisory board.
This is the last meeting, so I want to thank you all for your time, patience, and participation through this last year. A number of you will be on the next cycle of what we look at in Morro Bay Tourism, but I want to celebrate you guys and your work that you've done over the past few years to get us to this point. I look forward to the future of what Morro Bay Tourism will become. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good work.
And I'd like to echo that for all of you here and for Terry, who wasn't able to attend, and those who came before you as board members and the experiment of the city overseeing tourism. It's been a learning experience for me, and I know the council members and staff who worked for us, and delighted that Michael and Taylor are still on board and will help with the transition. And obviously, we'll be talking about what that looks like, I guess, relatively soon when the new board meets. I don't know exactly when that's going to be, but it's been a delight to work with each of you. Learned a lot, and you've helped shape a really excellent approach to tourism and thinking about how to combo that with the concerns of our community. And you don't typically see that with a tourism board. But Morro Bay is unique and special, as we all know, and so we want to keep it that way. So thank you for all your hard work. And as Michael said, looking forward to carrying it forward in a new space.
Well, we appreciate that. And I think the relationship has been symbiotic too. I think the city has helped the business community quite a bit, especially in this past 12 months. And, you know, I, for one, hope that Heather continues to attend all the meetings, gives us advice.
don't count on it.
All right. Anything else, Michael, on the conversion process?
Not currently. I'm excited for the prospects of where we're moving forward. Having a five-year runway is really going to give us the ability to be strategic year in, year out. And then looking forward to a strategic planning cycle, and we are in a marketing RFP process at the moment as well. So things are aligning for the future.
Fantastic. Any comments, questions, board?
Kind of a tactical question, but you know, one of the things I did in the last few weeks was I've gone out with some of the trash heroes and picked up trash, and you know, using the app to catalog what trash we're picking up, everything. And since trash is such an important topic for this board over the last few years, I'm just curious, Scott, you know, how you would see the partnership between a city program such as Trash Heroes going forward with the tourism board's, new, because I've never heard us as a tourism board talk about the Trash Heroes program. And I think the Trash Heroes program is such a huge success. I mean, I went out with one of your Trash Hero stars, Laura Hill, and you know, it was a blast with picking up trash, having this great time, getting some exercise, everything. And so I've never heard this board even acknowledge the Trash Hero program. And I'm just curious how those two things might work together.
Well, that's a great point. And it's probably on me. I've never really brought this up with the board, but that program has sort of been on, I wouldn't say on a pause. It's just our former finance director was the one who kind of championed that and pushed it. And when she left, we've been trying to plug that big hole. And we'll have a new person stepping into that role actually next week, which is fantastic.
Oh, great.
And you know, obviously she's starting from scratch, so I don't want to put communications on her right away, but I think over time we'll be able to kind of think about how to do things like that more. And obviously, city will have representation on the TBID, the new TBID board. So that'll be a great opportunity to talk about kind of the global issues around trash and public spaces. Yeah. So I think the Trash Hero program or whatever kind of emerges after COVID and that with that kind of programming would be a great subject of discussion. I expect that trash isn't going to go away as an issue, so we'll be having those conversations. I can foresee that.
Yeah, because I mean, you said that, you know, you're looking for a ratio between tables and receptacles, I mean, the people that I met that are on your Trash Hero, they're still continuing to do Trash Hero
during
the pandemic. They're so smart. These are very experienced, incredible people.
Right.
Like, you know, you could ask them to do that ratio. They'd be right on it.
That's a good point. And I get regular reports, trash reports, on Sundays or Monday mornings from one of them. And it's been really helpful to, like, okay, we're seeing the same issue emerging here, and then trying to focus staffing on that. And the conversation that we'll be having internally about trash receptacles and the proper ones, that Sean Green identified in his email, it's a good one. Obviously, the more artful they are, the more expensive they are, but we understand that functionality is important, but aesthetics is too, and finding ones that can keep the seagulls out will also be important. And I think we can engage with the trash heroes to help inform that. That's an
excellent
question. Yeah. Thanks for that question.
Thank you.
Good comment. Historically, my understanding before we had this well-balanced board is that these meetings tended to sometimes be contentious, and that's maybe part of the reason why they started to be recorded and, you know, we're in the city chambers and we're a little more official. Is there a chance ultimately when we can meet in person, are we still going to try and meet with that format and record these, or do we have any idea, Michael or Scott, how that's going to work?
I have no idea about that. That's one of those details that Michael and I will be working on. And I don't believe there's a requirement to record necessarily. And then I think the other part of that question is we plan to try to get back into the chambers or the Vets Hall probably September-ish and have a hybrid setup where you can still zoom in from home as staff or a council member, board member, or be present in the facility, and also the community members can be present at the facility or online. So that we're aiming for September. So that gives you an idea. If the new TBID wants to have recorded things, I think obviously there's contracts that have to be worked out with AGP and things like that.
Yeah.
So I think that's an open question. Like, Michael, you might have more.
Yeah, I don't believe there's a requirement for us to record that, but if we want to, we certainly can. The requirement for us is to be Brown Act compliant is to deliver the minutes to our website, our public-facing entity, which will on our website 24 hours after. From what I understand. So I don't believe that there is a requirement for recording. If it is online, then it makes it easier too. If there is a Zoom meeting, then it makes it easier for us to record them. It would be a cost and track to do that recording. Go for it, Joan.
Yeah, last time we were independent as a group, we did record, but we had no place to put it. So we recorded our minutes and we put them on the website. And then we paid AGP for a contract. We recorded, it was almost like having two meetings. We would go have the meeting and then we would have another meeting and AGP would record it. And then it was quarterly, I believe, and they would put it on the website. But then the city took it off because we were independent and it didn't have to be on the website. So I don't know where we would put it if we recorded it, because it's not a city meeting, so it wouldn't belong back on the city website again, right? So I guess we could record it for history's sake, but I'm not sure that's necessarily.
It probably isn't, and I think we aren't the first pastors in a new place where they're separate from the city, and obviously this SoCal is separate from, you know, government entity, and I think they just put their meeting minutes on their website. So I think there's a lot of different ways we can approach it.
And quite frankly, you know, I have heard over the years, I heard many times from other municipalities in our region, oh yeah, we watch your meetings because we want to know what your TOT is and we want to know what you're doing because you do everything openly. We watch all your marketing presentations, we watch all your, which is not good for Morro Bay, right? And then you try and get out in front of it, and they're like, oh, that's a good idea. We'll take that. So, you know, you're just, yeah. So there you go.
Ideas are cheap. Execution is everything.
Right. Exactly. But it wasn't helpful, right? So.
Okay, good comments on that. Well, I personally look forward to the time when we can meet again in person and see each other face to face. It's been a long time.
Absolutely.
Any other comments, AGP public comments on that item?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I do see a raised hand in the queue from Sarah Majulay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Board. I just wanted to circle back to the comments on trash and the Trash Heroes. First, I think that's a fantastic program. Scott and Michael are aware of this. We've chatted briefly in meetings I've had with both of them, but we just want to reiterate the continuation of the house side or in-yard pickup of trash for homes in residential areas outside the business area, obviously continuing in the business area like it has, but it's a really important service for our industry and for the many, many homeowners in Morro Bay that it is their second home. They choose not to do vacation rentals, but they do need that trash picked up. So I just wanted to emphasize that that's still a very important program, and we know that the trash pickup, your vendor is expressed a little bit of hesitation to extend that program, and we just absolutely want to emphasize that that's very important to our industry and to anyone who has a second home in Morro Bay.
Thank you for that, Sarah. I know Scott has a conflict and he has to jump off. Did you want to comment on that real quickly, Scott?
He's off already. He's on the EOC meeting. We'll make a note of that, and I'll follow up with Scott.
Okay, thank you for that, Sarah. AGP, any further public comment?
Thank you, Chair. I do not see any raised hands left in the queue.
Thank you. Item B3, update on the search engine marketing strategy and social influencer.
Yep, so we're making some good traction on the social. SU board packet has a report that we have from Globally. Our engagement rate is looking very strong with roughly 9% on Facebook, 7% on Instagram. Industry average is less than 1% for Facebook, so it seems like we're performing really strong against there. I've got a couple calls out to a couple of my partners who are running this type of program to see if that, you know, with what we're paying for, we should see higher engagement rates, but I want to know what that baseline is for those engagement rates, not just organic movements. Does feel good. We have made, as we've been talking about, a couple changes in social media where we were doing a lot of iconic shots. We were going a little bit deeper into thinking about some persona work, highlighting golf courses, activities. In that testing, it's interesting, our core group who are on our social media channels are really liking the views and the beauty that we offer. I don't think we've got a built-in clientele right now on our social media that's looking for the golf and the activities right now, and that's something that we'll be targeting so that guests have a bigger awareness on what there is to do in Morro Bay, not just see how beautiful it is, but also spend time here and money and recreate while they're in market. Is also looking good. And then we did have our first influencer in last week, Sarah Danadash, who had a day and a half in market, visiting restaurants, doing kayaking. We have a new experience. Sarah, a little history on Sarah. So she's a travel expert. She's a hotelier herself and a concierge and award-winning blogger. And so she was more on the service level, a little bit of a foodie, if you will. We have a new experience in town called Toast to Coast, which is a upscale luxury yacht rental, which we were able to contract with them and get her out on that experience and out in the harbor and out into out past the bay. And this touches that a little bit more upscale affluent traveler out of the LA market who is able to spend $600, $1,200. It's the tour itself costs around $600 an hour. So this is definitely a different level of activity than we're normally have in Morro Bay. So I'm looking forward to seeing what the response is. While Sarah was in town, we also had Globally producing some new content for us. And so we should get some of that back next week. And another piece that we're working on prior that I was coming on board, we brought, Taylor did a great job. We needed some content, and so we hired Bueno Dio, who is a local photographer and content developer. They're putting together a video for us and some new pictures for the website. Taylor's going to share the video that they've shared with us. We're still going through a couple cuts on this, but I wanted to share this with you guys and see some of the work that we're doing.
Thank you, Michael.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, did you say Taylor's going to share that now or in the future?
Right now. Sure,
I'm going to share it right now.
Yeah.
Michael, I wanted to just comment that I think it's a great idea just to start doing some personas and looking at the current persona. We all know, you know, the older tourist visitor, and look at persona of the where we want to go, you know, who we want to encourage, and just all of the positioning changes that would need to be made to that. That's a great idea. All right, just, you know, are you thinking of doing qualitative research in creating those with segmentation studies, or are you thinking more of doing qualitative, you know, interviews? You know, how are you thinking of getting those personas?
Great question. We are actually, we'll be presenting to the next round. Business Locale is doing a visitor study. They're doing their next round visitor study. Launching that. So we'll be doing quantitative. We'll also be doing a diversity study as well through that process. And so coming out of those studies, we'll creating to seeing who we have potential of reaching out of those studies, and then have that written also within the RFP process to the marketing agency, that through these studies, really looking at what our branding looks like, feels like, and who we can really start targeting on that. What we have to offer is we have to offer. So yeah, we will be doing some studies going into this, and then agency work will look to see who is providing kind of the best outlook for us.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, and on that, you know, because I spent some of the last months since I've seen all of you guys driving through Southern Utah all the way to Denver and driving back, I could tell that it was looking at the targeting in many of the different, like Moab and many of the different cities I was going through, you know, studying how, and I had discussions with a number of hoteliers along the way, and they all told me, we're changing our segmentation and our persona structure by putting Tesla chargers at our hotels.
Yeah.
And because I don't have a Tesla, but I was have an electric car and I was following this. It was amazing how the positioning and the segmentation of the visitors was changing by who had available chargers.
Yeah, that's true. And I'll be honest, we used to have an electric station in front of the office here in Morro Bay. We don't currently. We've had in the last 2 weeks, 4 or 5 people coming and looking for those.
Oh, yeah.
I believe the city has, we were going to be looking at some grants for more electric chargers within the city. I believe the city did win some grant money for electric chargers, because that is a inconsistent message and inconsistent opportunity that Morro Bay doesn't have. Cayucas has some, San Luis has some, and that's a piece that, you know, as that traveler's experience, we need to focus on those pieces that when we're targeting the Bay Area, that they're able to fill up while they're in market and be able to move around. Yeah.
I'll second that. I've got an electric vehicle and I have to time my trips to go to Atascadero just to charge it up. And it gets pretty close sometimes going over that mountain pass.
The irony is we have a gigantic power plant and no...
It's very ironic.
It is. I agree. Yeah. So that's one of those on the destination management side, when we start looking at the visitors' experience, that this organization can help hopefully have a voice within the community to really bring a couple of those pieces to the top of the level for the city to focus on.
Yeah, and I know you're all on top of this, but you know, the whole definition of what is marketing a destination is completely different. I mean, you know, if anybody thinks of like the old days of an ad in the back of Sunset Magazine, I mean, it's just like, that is like horse and buggy days. The marketing is paying for a charging station. That will have more reach because then that charging station goes on all of the Tesla sites. It goes, you know, I mean, that's the way a lot of people are searching for destinations is where can I get a charge?
Yep.
So that's a marketing effort, not an infrastructure.
Yeah. You know. I mean, she's right. You know, working into the future, we have to look into the future of how can we foresee how technology is going to change and how it's going to impact us. You know, I love the videos that we did. I think I saw the one that was on Instagram. I thought it was terrific. And, you know, John and I just drove all the way across the country from Florida to California. And John walked up to me in Alabama and tapped me on the shoulder and handed me a rolled up, like a rolled up. I thought it was like a newspaper, like a real estate thing. And he said, check this out. And I opened it up and it was one of the old hotel advertising things that had, you know, Alabama on the front and all the hotel coupons on the inside going all the way across country. The only place we found that was Alabama. And we haven't done those in California or Morro Bay for 15 years. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable how it changed. I had forgotten about them. So yeah, it does, you know, technology changes everything.
It does. It does. And especially when we're those travelers, electric car is one of those segments. So when we start targeting the affluent marketing markets, the EV world is a culture of its own within that, in that segment. We need to be able to offer those services to them.
Yeah.
Especially when we're positioning ourselves as a green destination with the new battery charging station, the wind, electric, those type of pieces, and then not having a basic service. So.
Yeah, my sister-in-law is a representative for a drug company. She's a sales rep, and they're switching all nationwide, all of their drug reps out to Teslas this year. They just put a charging station in her garage. So, you know, I mean, Stephen, you might as well, maybe you can write it off and put one in at one of your hotels here and be the first, right? So, you know, it'd be great to see one of those Tesla charging stations in town.
We do have one at the Best Western Tradewinds. Yeah,
okay.
There's one. Yeah.
You want to proceed with the video?
Okay. Thank you for that discussion, everyone.
Yeah. Thank you.
we're doing a couple little edits to that, but I think that does a great representation on how beautiful Morro Bay is, the activities, the family, and the lifestyle that is the what Morro Bay is. So I think they've done a really good job of capturing. I'm interested to hear any feedback you guys have.
Very nice. It was great.
Very nice. Love it. How do all of you, I'm just curious, you know, from the board, you know, there weren't any dogs featured there yet. We have the dog beach, but how do you all of you feel about marketing that this is a dog friendly town? Is that a problem for hoteliers or is that a good thing?
We personally have pet friendly rooms.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, the dog beach, and especially with the recent acquisition of the dog beach into the city of Morro Bay, I think is just such a huge, you know, draw. So, you know, it'd be great to see a dog or two.
You got it. I agree. And I think dogs, you know, my parents don't travel without their dogs.
Yeah.
They are my second brother and sister sometimes, it feels like. So I'll just be honest with that. So there is definitely a clientele. I think we do have a good mix of hotels and properties that are pet friendly. And then being able to expose the ability to have your dogs out off leash is something that you're not able to do in the major urban areas. So that's something that we can definitely promote.
Yeah. I mean, things have changed in Santa Cruz, you know, in the last few years, but Santa Cruz used to be dog hostile. You know, you couldn't even have a dog on a leash on the Pacific Garden Mall, you know. So it could be, you know, like Carmel, it could be a good positioning of, you know, hey, bring your dog. You know, we've got a beautiful 3 mile long leash free dog beach. You know, that's a huge, I know it's a huge attractor for me as a dog owner.
I mean, the reality is anybody can bring in an emotional support animal and you can't ask for verification anyway. So you may as well embrace it.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Chris, you had a comment?
I was just going to say that in that video that we saw, we really didn't have a lot of people in the video either. From far shots we did, but no personality kind of shots. So before we would emphasize dogs, I'd hope we'd also emphasize people.
Yeah.
Within there.
Yeah.
No people.
this was a little more of those kind of epic shots on this video with the content that we had with locally last week and the social media, that we had a little bit more concentration on the people and the downtown area, riding bikes and a little more the on street, the downtown and the Embarcadero essence is local on this one.
Couple points for constructive criticism. I'm not sure Scott would advocate for the backflips off the pier. And then that line of people looks like in the hot weather at Giovanni's, that didn't look very appealing.
Yeah.
But other than that, it was fantastic.
Yeah, the huge fish is awesome.
If you highlight dogs, one of the things that you may not know if you don't live here and have a dog is that you take your dog to the beach, you can go up to Limos and they have a self dog wash. So it'd be a great shot to show the self dog wash. Also, or you could show like the Harbor House put in a dog wash.
I didn't even know that.
Put in a dog wash and you just put lawns in. So hotels, there are hotels that are pet friendly. They allow the pet in. And then there's hotels that cater to the pet and what they do for the pet. I mean, I remember when I was when I had 456, when we'd get a pet room, we had dog towel blankets for the dogs and we'd fold them like a dog on the bed and put a dog biscuit in their mouth with a water bowl, a bottle of water in there, you know, a bunch of dog poop bags for lack of a better word. And, you know, it was like, because we charged extra.
Yeah.
And the city made extra money because you charged TOT on the pet fee. So, you know, pets can not only being pet friendly can be a pain to you, but it can also be, you know, a good deal. And so some of the hotels are doing things that could be really cute to stick in a video, but that is down the road. And I love the video. I think you guys did a great job.
Any other comments on marketing? Michael, anything on the horizon here to hit the ground running in terms of resurrecting events?
Yeah, so we've had some internal conversations here. Now that we have the marching orders from the city, It's a little too short for working with the chamber on the Avocado Festival and the fall kind of festival lineup. It's a little too short for them to start planning. They're not able to put their funding behind that. They're looking to relaunch that next year. I've talked with the city and a couple of the hoteliers on the big yard sale that happens in the area. Was owned by the T-Bid, and it sounds like that would be an easy win for us. I've talked to a number of the properties saying they did see, you know, people traveling in even on a Thursday night, Friday, and we'd be targeting that. I want to say it's the last weekend of September, first week of October is the major trash pickup or the large pickup in Morro Bay. So we would combine that with the city's program to come pick up all the bigger waste, I should say. And so we are looking into bringing that back for the fall. As far as other events goes right now, pretty much it's on hold until winter time, and we have the Bird Festival coming in to town in January, and then looking at what events look like for the future. Visits Locale is putting together an MOU for a county-wide event strategy. It's something that they've been working on for a number of years so that we're not cannibalizing each other on different weekends and then pushing and actually having event strategy moving forward. So look for us to move through that process. But in the short term, looking to bring back the large yard sale in fall, but nothing else really on the horizon at the moment.
And I'm sorry, I don't remember. The Bird Festival looks like it is or is not going to happen.
I believe it is.
Yeah. It is. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's definitely in planning.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
Is the writers conference happening, and are they housing people in Morro Bay again? They often
the Cuesta is it the
yeah the Cuesta Central Coast Writers Festival. I see.
Yeah,
they have some live workshops and panels going on. Just wondering, that's November, right?
Yeah, let me do a little more research on that one. I've been kind of working through a couple of things.
I think that one looks like, just looking quickly on their website, it looks, I don't know if it's full capacity in person or a combination, but it looks like it's definitely on for November 2021.
Okay, yeah, that's through the Central Coast through Cuesta. I've got my next round of sales efforts is going out to Cuesta. I have been warned by the city of San Luis Obispo to not talk to Cal Poly, but we'll see how that happens. Molly and I are really good friends, so we've always had fun banter on that. So I'll reach out to Cuesta College and start kind of that process.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just went a little deeper and see that they've announced that they're not doing fall 2021. Okay. They're going to return in 2022. Sorry.
No, don't be. Yep.
I was hoping.
Yep.
Anything else on marketing, Amish? You got anything?
Given that summer's kind of came early in full swing, I don't know how the board would feel in gathering some. I know there's not any events, but if it was able to get food trucks together in the Embarcadero or somehow get live music down there, something that people can look forward to while visiting here, even if it's like once a month.
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
What the city stance on food trucks is, but I know there's a lot of communities that have food truck festivals, and since they are all self-contained within their own vehicle, the only really necessity is land.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. The city has an ordinance that won't allow food trucks. They may allow a festival that's in an enclosed area, but it's brick and mortar restaurants only, so that somebody doesn't just roll into town without a license and sit in front of, let's say, the siren, and the siren has food, right, and pump food out, right. So and this was probably 12 years ago that they put that in. So they may allow a festival in an enclosed area with a bunch of food trucks, like you're suggesting, but they wouldn't allow like a food truck just down randomly in the, especially in the Rock parking lot. They're restricted, which is, you know, there you go. But I believe that there was a lawsuit in Los Angeles. I don't know if you know what spicy mango is, but there was a spicy mango lawsuit from a vendor who was on a sidewalk in Los Angeles and came. I believe Scott was following it with Eric Endersby, because the city takes a portion on the Tidelands trust sites of revenue. And so the Rock parking lot is a Tidelands trust site. So it's something that we do need to inquire about, because I believe the lawsuit came back that said, no, if you're a taxpayer, you can put your spicy mango cart on a sidewalk and you can vend, but you do have to follow all of whatever the community rules are. So you have to have a business license in Los Angeles, and you have to have a spicy mango cart vendor license or something, whatever it is. So I'm not sure how that changed what we're doing here, but it is something that I agree with you. We need music or something down there, even if it were just an anchor park, a couple of musicians, or I remember the Whitecaps used to go down, which was our senior citizen band, and they used to play all the time in Centennial Park once a month on Saturdays, and it was like the first or the third Saturday, and they'd have a huge crowd out there. Yep. So, you know, it does draw people, and it does give people something to do.
It was also something that I saw, again, as my little research across the Western United States in the month of May, where I stayed at a property in Palisade, Colorado, that had every night, the motel property brought in two food trucks, and they had, for COVID, created a whole picnic area around. And it was so incredible. It was not only all the people staying at the motel were taking advantage of the food trucks, but it was bringing in some locals, and it created this incredible scene for that motel. It was all on private property. So it could be something that, you know, could be thought through, especially if you have a motel property with some space for some, you know, putting some picnic tables and to kind of house this. It could be something that's just done individually by certain properties. And it created, I mean, that whole town, Palisade, is a little town that we should study. They're doing a lot of things really right with they're becoming a bicycle destination. And so they've combined bicycle touring with wine tasting and peach eating during peach season. And then they're utilizing food trucks and their downtown in this really creative way. And it's like town very similar to Morro Bay, that can be a little bit rustic around the edges and a little industrial in some ways, but they've made it into just this cool little destination town, you know, just near Grand Junction. And they're pulling people from Grand Junction to Palisade as a result of it. And food trucks is a big part, but they do it, each property does it sort of individually.
Good comments. Sounds like an excellent future agenda item as well.
Yeah.
Anything else regarding marketing? Chris, I'm going to get a virtual background that makes me look like I'm in a car. That would be cool.
Yeah, Chris, you've got a great car camera.
He's actually in his office.
I need office space. I need office space. This is the hotels are busy. There's nowhere to hide. I got to go to the car.
If there's nothing further on marketing, AGP, any public comment?
Thank you, Chair Allen. I do not see any raised hands left in the queue.
Okay, then that will formally move us on to declaration of future agenda items, which is a little challenging as we're kind of a lame duck group and this is our last meeting. But does anyone have any ideas for when the next board meets?
Yeah, so we're looking at, so with the bylaws, we're meeting bi-monthly, so every other month right now. We do have, looking at scheduling, keeping the same schedule if this works for everybody, the third Thursday of the month. So the next one would be on July 15th for those. Once we get the bylaws finalized and then the board appointed through Civitas. Yep. Yes, Joan.
This is more of a question for Heather. Heather, after this meeting, we're no longer a TBID board, so That likely means that our names will be off of the city website and that these email addresses that we're all using to formally communicate in will disappear, right? And so then, Michael, there would have to be some transition for you to communicate with all of us, whether it's a personal email or whether you establish a Visit Morro Bay email is something that, you know, you should be probably right away. And Heather, do these disappear right away? What happens here? Do you know?
Yeah, I'm in conversation right now about that. So things will transition, but the city email, you know, for public record sakes, I mean, your email doesn't just disappear, but right. But as far as communication goes, yes. I mean, obviously we're going to have to put a stop at the email, so we won't be able to communicate with you via the city email, but we'll have to, I guess, talk about how staff will communicate to you guys, whether it's using your personal or whatever is created. But yeah, we'll get in touch with you about that. That's a good question. But yeah, we will be closing or shutting down that those emails.
Yeah.
And we'll obviously let you know when that happens.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so then we're...
And your names will obviously change on the city's website as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, because we get some great public comment, like Sean's. And
Stuff like that.
So I'm not sure how that would flow through. I just want to make sure that we don't miss out on that partner.
Yeah, and it'll be clear on the website indicating that, you know, the board has transitioned to a bureau. And, you know, so it won't just be one day. It'll be shut down and it's disappeared and gone. Because we've had other boards do the same thing where, you know, but they didn't transition to a bureau. They just kind of like, they're just no longer in existence, excuse me. So it'll be very clear of, you know, the transition. So okay. Does that help?
Is it? Thank you.
Okay, great.
And heads up, Michael, I'm on vacation July 15th, so.
You are? Okay.
I leave Monday for 3 weeks.
You leave Monday for 3 weeks?
Yeah.
And summer begins.
Well, I'll be in Turkey, so it's, the time difference is 10 hours. So if you have having me meet like this will be like 1 o'clock in the morning.
So I mean, you're going to be the new chair anyway. So
Amish, Amish will be the new chair. So no, we'll let you guys figure that out. All right. We'll take this offline. Well, I'll appreciate your time. Let's just take this on the back channels and we'll work out when the next board meeting will happen. I'll keep you guys all tied in by the end of this week so we can have that. We will have that first board meeting. We'll have some healthy discussion on some budgetary items and marketing RFP and some other stuff. So, yeah.
Okay. Then if there is nothing else, I will adjourn the meeting. It is 10:07. Thank you all for your contributions over the years.
Thank you.
We look forward to evolving and meeting again soon. Have a good day. Meeting adjourned.
Have a good day. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.